To introduce the topic of the Trinity, first, I would like to ask the question. What are the seven spirits of God? Revelations 1:4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Revelations 3:1. And unto the angel, unto the church at Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast the name that thou livest and art dead. Revelations 4:5. And out of the throne proceedeth lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Revelations 5:6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. The seven spirits of God are mentioned in Revelations 1:4, 3:1, 4:5, and 5:6. The seven spirits of God are not specifically identified, so it is impossible to be dogmatic. Revelations 1:4 mentions that the seven spirits are before God's throne. Revelations 3:1 indicates that Jesus Christ holds the seven spirits of God. Revelations 4:5 links the seven spirits of God with seven burning lights that are before God's throne. Revelations 5:6 identifies the seven spirits with the seven eyes of the Lamb and states that they are sent out into all the earth. There are at least three possible interpretations of the seven spirits of God. The first is that the seven spirits of God are symbolic of the Holy Spirit. The Bible, and especially the book of Revelation, uses the number seven to refer to perfection and completeness. If that is the meaning of the seven in the seven spirits, then it is not referring to seven different spirits of God, but rather the perfect and complete Holy Spirit. The second view is that the seven spirits of God refer to seven angelic beings, possibly the seraphim or the cherubim. This would sit with the other angelic beings that are described in the book of Revelation. Revelations 4, 6 to 9, 5, 6 to 14, 19, 4 to 5. A third possibility is based on Isaiah 11, 2, which says, "The spirits of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." This could possibly explain the seven spirits of God. One, the Spirit of the Lord. Two, the Spirit of wisdom. Three, the Spirit of understanding. Four, the Spirit of counsel. Five, the Spirit of power. Six, the Spirit of knowledge. And seven, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. The Bible does not tell us specifically who or what the seven spirits are, but the first interpretation, that they are the Holy Spirit, seems the most likely. Nevertheless, whatever meaning we choose for the seven spirits of God, we can be sure that they are attributes of God or parts of God. The next question I will ask is, does God is one mean that God has no parts? Genesis 1, 2. "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Is the Spirit of God a part of God, similar to the hand of a man is a part of a man? The final question is, what is the nature of God? Genesis 1:26. "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Isaiah 34:24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Isaiah 43:10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither will there be after me. Now, let's move on to the definition of person. And it's definition 6. As a human being, a partnership or a corporation that is recognized by law as the subject of rights and duties. For example, the plaintiff and the defendant. In a class action suit, the plaintiff is one person consisting of several individuals, and the defendant is another person consisting of the board of executives. God said that he created the universe by himself with no help from anyone. Then God said, let us make man. The I and the us are thus the same. Furthermore, the word person has a valid relationship definition. Likewise, the Trinity is a relationship definition of the person of God. Therefore, one God does not speak about whether or not God has parts. It does not attempt to address the idea that the Spirit of God, the heart of God, or the mind of God represent parts of God. There too could, unrightly, be considered parts of God, just as a hand and a foot are parts of a man. Nevertheless, if a man lost his hand or his foot, or God was separated from his spirit, both would be lesser for it. Likewise, the husband and the wife become one, despite their parts. That is, despite the fact that the parts of their oneness are the man and the woman. Therefore, oneness and parts are not mutually exclusive concepts. Sometimes we believe that we can rightly define the word of truth without knowing or considering all of the definitions of the words used in the scripture, because we are erroneously believe that the Bible defines the definitions of words. No. The Bible uses the definitions that are already recorded. Just as a dictionary does not define the definition of words. Rather, the dictionary records the definitions that people already use. One great fault with many people is the acceptance of only some of the definitions on a word and the rejection of other definitions that contradict their theory. The Nicene Creed correctly uses the relationship definition of John 1:1. Excuse me. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Was with God refers to the relationship definition, and was God refers to the traditional individual definition. Praise God for the reading and the understanding of His Word. He that has an ear, let him hear. So let it be. Amen.